Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by Alex Talich on the live blog. Jamie Snowden's on vacation. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a Packers preseason game tomorrow, Saturday, against the St. Louis Rams. To help preview that game and talk about the Green Bay Packers, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning. We have Danish NFL writer Jacob Lillemoes coming to us from Copenhagen in Denmark. Jacob, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Brian. Very well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for joining us. I had the pleasure of meeting Jacob at Packers training camp. He reached out to me, wanted to meet one of the first practices of the year. We had a chance to talk. I invited him on the show today. Kind of interesting, you know, I want to get the perspective of an international writer on the show. And I guess, Jacob, you know, you kind of told me the story in person a little bit, but I think it's interesting for other people to hear, you know, how, you know, growing up in Denmark, did you become an American football fan, and kind of shed some light into that?
I was way back in the early 90s, 90, 91, I was an exchange student in Kimberley, Wisconsin. And back then, the host family I stayed with were all huge Packer fans. So they took me to a game, and we, of course, watched every game on Sundays. And then I came back to Denmark, and in the 90s, there was not a lot of NFL football on in Denmark. I don't think we could even see the games on television. But then in the early 2000s, we could see the games. And then this kind of past came back to me, and I started becoming really interested again. And then one thing led to another, and here I am now even writing about the NFL.
Well, that leads me into my next question here. You write for a NFL magazine called Tipsbladet. Tell us about that publication and what you came to Packers training camp for early on, late July, to do an article about.
Tipsblad is actually a soccer magazine. And in fact, I was an intern there way back in 1988 when I thought my favorite sport was going to be soccer. And basically, it's a magazine that specializes in kind of a came out of a betting culture. So really putting up a lot of stats to help bettors find out what to bet on. It's a weekly magazine. But then they started with the kind of huge interest in American football that has emerged in the last, I would say, 10 years. They've also started putting out a yearly magazine on the NFL specifically. And that's what I came to Green Bay to contribute to by doing basically a report on training camp. Not only training camp as concerning the team, but also the kind of fan culture around training camp in Green Bay.
That's very cool. I wish I could be able to read it, but I mean, I suppose, first of all, it's written in Danish, isn't it?
It's written in Danish, yes.
I probably won't have the opportunity to be able to read that. I don't know Danish, but anyway.
Well, I can send you a Word document, and you can Google Translate it.
Oh, there we go.
To get an idea.
Fantastic. Great. Please do so. Let's preview this game that's upcoming Saturday here for the Packers. They traveled to the St. Louis Rams. Kind of one of the bigger stories of the week here. Jordy Nelson, he missed last week's preseason opener. He apparently has a minor hamstring injury. And Jacob, you know, being a Packers observer here throughout training camp, are you worried at all about Jordy Nelson's hamstring injury, and do you think he'll play on Saturday?
Well, I guess I'll take Jordy's word for it and not worry too much, but it seems like these hamstring injuries are kind of a ghost that that keeps haunting the Packers. So I can't say I'm not paying attention at all. I guess I would take his word for it eventually and say he's okay. Otherwise, I would recommend him to start yoga if he's not already doing that. It seems like that's a good way to avoid these injuries from reoccurring.
Yeah, interesting you bring that up, because so many players apparently have taken up yoga this off season. I don't know if Jordy Nelson's one of them or not, but we'll find out if he plays. he's been kind of avoiding the topic, and Mike McCarthy hasn't said whether or not he'll play. We'll find out. Another player whose status is no longer in question, but Aaron Rodgers missed the first preseason game. He was a healthy scratch. Mike McCarthy has said he'll play Saturday, but my question for you is, if you were the Packers coach, how long would you play Aaron Rodgers in the second preseason game?
If I was the coach?
I guess, yeah.
I would say one series, which also seems to be the plan. I don't know if he needs it, I'm not sure, but not to play him at all in the preseason, I guess, would worry me going into the first game.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he's going to play very long on Saturday. So a series, maybe two, something like that. But yeah. I doubt he'll play long. But the guys backing him up, what do you think about the backup quarterback job? Do you think Matt Flynn or Scott Tolzien is ahead in the race to be Aaron Rodgers' backup?
I think it's really hard to kind of to see right now. I think it is pretty much up in the air, as has been the expression in training camp. I mean, for me, Tolzien looked really good against the Titans, but as far as I could understand from the report from practice, he was picked three times at practice the other day. So I don't know. For now, I guess I would pick Flynn, basically because of his experience. But I think in the long run, probably Tolzien would have more upside. Let's see. I mean, it's hard to see. I think we need to see more preseason game to find out how it plays out. And basically, I think they will keep both of them and then actually let the in-season form also decide.
I think the quarterback position, more than any others, has more to gain or more to lose from how they play in the preseason. I really do think, you know, jobs can be won for these two guys in terms of, you know, who's number two based upon their preseason play. We're talking to Jacob Lillemoes of the Danish NFL magazine Tipsbladet. Here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning here at Cheesehead TV. Turning our attention to the defensive side of the football here, Jacob, what was your reaction to hearing the Packers traded Jarrell Worthy?
I mean, it sounded a bit strange how it was communicated internally, but at the same time, kudos to Ted Thompson for getting something in return of a player that didn't seem to have much perspective really in the Packers. I kind of like this way that Ted Thompson is handling these things of letting players go and moving on when he feels there's reason to. I think he has a really good eye or intuition for these things. Plus, I guess I think it would motivate players not to take their roster spots for granted really and take good care of themselves.
Another guy who's been kind of linked to Jarrell Worthy, just from the standpoint that they both started off training camp on the NFL's non-football injury list, or the Packers' non-football injury list. What do you think's going to happen to LaTroy Guyon, who's been injured since the beginning of training camp with a hamstring injury of his own?
I know, it's a little tricky. I think bringing him in was a little surprising to me, but I guess I would assume that they would have more patience with him. But then again, he needs to play some football before anything can be decided. Really, do the Packers really need him? I don't know. Probably not. But would they be better with him? Probably yes. So I think that's another play you really need to see in action. I think that I don't see them cutting him before he's seen any kind of action.
Yeah, I don't know what they'll do. Could be a situation where he starts the season on the PUP list, but, I mean, of course, if he comes back this next week, then they can't do that. So we kind of wait and see what's going to happen to LaTroy Guyon. So Worthy is gone. This kind of, you can look at it in a way as maybe a door is open to some of the young defensive linemen on the roster. Is there any of these guys... defensive linemen you're looking to see, such as Josh Boyd, Kyrie Thorne, Mike Pinnell, did any of these guys jump out to you when you were at training camp, Jacob, or you're just interested in seeing them Saturday night, maybe?
Yeah, basically, I'm interested in seeing all of them, but in training camp, I'd have to say Boyd. I like the kind of speed and power he brings to the game, but it sounded like after the days that I was able to watch. Pinnell was also showing a huge potential. So I think if these guys step up this year, it can be a huge difference maker for the team.
Maybe finally here, talking a little bit about special teams, the preseason opener at Tennessee, Devontae Adams fumbled the ball twice or muffed the punt twice, albeit in downpour of rain, and maybe we give him a pass for that. But the question I'll pose to you is, who do you think should be returning punts in light of all this fumbling that Devontae Adams did last weekend?
Yeah, that seems to be the million-dollar question right now, doesn't it? Well, I think they should have kept Jeremy Ross, but that's I guess, another issue. I think they should find someone really who is not a starter. So I guess that would exclude both Cobb, Hyde, and Williams, I guess, both because it would minimize the risk of injury, but also I believe someone who is like more specifically assigned to returning punts would run with more determination. So I would basically say give Adams some more tries. The conditions against the Titans were really difficult. And it was his first NFL game action. So I would try him some more, and then I would also like to see someone like Jeff Janis giving it a try.
Yeah, maybe he'll get that shot. Janis will make his debut on Saturday evening, presumably. Maybe the guy who could have been the punt returner that we're now not having the opportunity to see is Jared Aberderis, but we'll find out what the Packers have in store Saturday night. Jacob, thank you so much for joining us. Before we let you go, I had tweeted you on Twitter. You had, like, prior to yesterday, two tweets and, like, I saw you like signed up 2,000 days ago. You've been around since the beginning. You just don't use it. Can we get you to use Twitter more often?
Yeah, I'll take your kind of encouragement and get at it and tweet some more as the season goes along.
Fantastic. Well, I'm going to try to get you some followers, so maybe you'll have more people to interact with and some Packer fans as well. But again, thank you for joining us on the show. It was great to meet you at training camp in late July there. Wish you all the best of luck. And will you be able to watch the game live Saturday?
I will. I'll be up all night watching it, yep.
Great, great. That'll be late for you. What time will the game be at in Denmark?
It's a 7-hour time difference, so I guess it's not too bad this time around. It's more Monday night and Sunday night games are the tough ones.
Yeah, this one should only be 10 p.m. or so, something like that.
Yeah,
Jacob, again, thank you very much for joining me, and take care.
Thank you, Brian.
All right. Jacob Lillemoes of the Danish NFL magazine Tipsbladet. Joining me on the show on a Skype line all the way from Copenhagen, Denmark, where currently it's mid-afternoon. Here it's morning time, 8:45 a.m. Central Time as I record the show, and we air it live at cheeseheadtv.com. But just kind of continuing our preview here of the Packers-Rams game this morning. That'll be airing tomorrow. It's a rare Saturday afternoon game. Just those don't happen in the preseason very often. They're pretty much all night games in the preseason. But I think it has to do with the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team having a game the same day at home. And I think for traffic reasons and just to spread things out in St. Louis, that's why the football game is taking place at 3 p.m. Central Time tomorrow. Just so you know when the game starts and you're not automatically assuming it's a night game. But, we talked about it with Jacob. You know, I think one of the bigger storylines of the day and will be of the weekend is what's going to happen to Jordy Nelson as, he missed some time. He, of course, missed the first preseason game, missed a handful of practices, and they've been bringing him back slowly since that time, kind of, Tuesday, Wednesday, he took part in practice, but it's kind of like, okay, to run a play and then take the next five off or something like that. Jordy Nelson, nursing the hamstring injury. What's interesting, and, I think people probably have already forgotten this, but Jordy Nelson didn't play in a single preseason game last year because he was recovering from knee surgery. He actually had surgery on his knee to correct a nerve issue. And it's just like people don't even care about the preseason. It's like we care about this Rams game right now, but I swear as soon as the game's over, people like forget it. It's just unmemorable. Nobody cares about the outcome of a game. I've said this many times in the past. The Packers could go 0-4 in the preseason. It would mean absolutely nothing. That you want to see them do well, but you don't care if the Packers lose a preseason game. It all cares about what they do in the regular season. So last year, Jordy Nelson didn't play a single snap, and it apparently didn't affect him one iota. He goes on to have an absolutely fantastic season last year, has a career high, 85 catches, has over 1,300 yards receiving, didn't have a career high in touchdowns, but, he still scored 8 touchdowns last year. And this is all without Aaron Rodgers being around for half the year as well. I don't think there's much to worry about if Jordy Nelson does not play. I can't blame the Packers if they just simply sit him out because let's assume Jordy Nelson does start, does play. How long is he going to play? A series or two, just like Aaron Rodgers. So, maybe with there being, some questions about his health, maybe it's just better off you just sit him this week and he comes back next week because third preseason game is when the starters play the most. They'll put Aaron Rodgers out there for an entire half as they try to get him ready for the season before backing off the last game. I think that's the point where you want to get him, maybe a little bit more in sync with Jordy Nelson, whatever. Even though Aaron Rodgers will, apparently, according to Mike McCarthy, he will play Saturday night. He has not said how much, I expect it to be a series, maybe two, something like that. But Matt Flynn and Scott Tolzien are going to get the bulk of the work. Mike McCarthy has been very evasive all week in terms of saying, what the rotation's going to be. I think people saw Scott Tolzien play very well in the first preseason game last week. They saw him do well and thought, maybe he can be the number two guy now this week, giving him his shot with the number two offense instead of mostly last week working with the number three offense. It's up to Mike McCarthy, really. I don't know. Maybe he also wants to give Matt Flynn a more fair shot, seeing as the first game he played basically in a downpour. And I think it is really hard to analyze the play of Matt Flynn from a week ago as well. because of the rain, because of the weather. I don't think it's fair to judge him based upon, you know, him throwing the football, which would have been a whole lot easier. You know, there were throws that were just a little off target. There were drop passes, both of which could have been completed had it been, perfect conditions, which it will be Saturday evening. Mike McCarthy said it's great to get one preseason game in a domed environment, kind of in preparation of the regular season, where they know they'll be playing games in dome environments, you know, guaranteed in, Minnesota, Detroit, not to mention any non-conference opponents that, or non-divisional opponents that might have a dome as well. The Packers know, of course, you know, all the home preseason games will be outdoors, just as every home game is for them, but, good to get in work in a domed environment, and I think that'll help, you know, get a more fair grade on not just the quarterbacks, but all players. You know, I don't think it was very fair to analyze the Davante Adams and his muffed punts in that preseason game. Although, again, you know, they haven't given him that much work at punt return during the week. When they trot those guys back out there, again, it's been Micah Hyde and Randall Cobb more than anything. And I personally, I wrote a column here at Cheesehead TV yesterday saying, and I've said this on the show, and I think that's where its origins kind of came from, was me talking about it on the show, and I wanted to flesh it out in written form, I guess, saying that the Packers should, during the regular season at least, use a rotation of punt returners between Micah Hyde and Randall Cobb, both of whom are very talented, from the standpoint that I don't think that, you know, it's very likely that they're going to get hurt on punt returns, so you might as well use their talents. That being said, it is the preseason on Saturday. I don't think it's wrong at all to attempt using anyone back there. I don't think in the preseason Randall Cobb and Micah Hyde need any work catching the football, really. If the Packers want to put them out there, fine. But, if you want to put Davante Adams or, as Jacob Lillimos suggested, Jeff Janis back there, great. Take a look at them. It's the preseason. It's the time for experimentation. See how they do back there. Because neither of those guys have caught many punts in college. You know, I think I said here the last episode, I went back and looked at Davante Adams' college statistics, found out he had returned all of 2 punts during his entire college career, which wasn't long. Davante Adams only played 2 years at Fresno State after declaring as a sophomore, although he did, I believe, redshirt his freshman year, was there 3 years total. Very little punt return experience. Same goes for Jeff Janis. I haven't looked at his, I maybe looked at his statistics in the aftermath of the NFL draft, but I've since forgotten them, but I know he doesn't have much, you know, return specialist experience at all. So, hey, go out there, give him a shot. We'll see. Mike McCarthy said they're almost set, I think, on DeJuan Harris being the kick returner. And I think being an inexperienced kick returner, they'll want to continue to give him some work just returning the football. And, you know, the more practice for him, the better. But they want to give other people a shot at kick return just, you know, simply from a depth standpoint. If anything should happen to DeJuan Harris during the regular season, they're going to want to take a look at some other guys. And, you know, Randall Cobb and Micah Hyde, of course, can do kickoff returns as well. But maybe they want to look at Jeff Janis, Ladarius Perkins, who's been doing a lot during training camp. One person you're not going to see is Rajon Neal get a shot. He actually returned a kickoff during the Packers' first preseason game last Saturday against the Titans. That was the play he hurt his knee on. And apparently the word is the injury is not serious to Rajon Neal or linebacker Joe Thomas as well. Both of them suffering knee injuries in the first preseason game. But neither of them will play. Those two players have been ruled out. It's a shame. You know, the rookies, they could use the work, but the more important part is they're healthy. And hopefully, you know, Mike McCarthy says neither are supposed to be long-term injuries. Maybe they just sit out this week and are able to return in time for next week as well. Neil and Thomas, be good to get them back. Defensive side of the football, what's the biggest thing to look for? I think you're looking at two things. I think a safety position. Morgan Burnett is making his preseason debut after last week sitting out with a a strained oblique. Gave a lot of time to Micah Hyde and HaHa Clinton Dix. But Morgan Burnett is being inserted back into the lineup as a starter. But I think a lot of people are wondering, you know, is he losing a grip on his starting job, and how are they going to divvy up playing time now that Burnett is back? You know, how long will he be out there paired with Hyde, and are they going to try to do different combinations of you know, Morgan Burnett and HaHa Clinton Dix out there, or is it just going to simply be Hyde and Clinton Dix, or, is Clinton Dix not going to be paired with either of the starters and ends up getting paired with Sean Richardson maybe? I don't know. We'll find out Saturday night, see what they have in store during the game. And the other part on defense that I think is worth watching, that, you know, spend a good amount of time talking about the defensive line with Jacob Lillemose, the defensive line, and, you know, now that Jarrell Worthy has been traded, you know, seemingly it's going to be easier, ostensibly, for one of these young defensive linemen to perhaps grab a roster spot. I think the best-looking young defensive lineman would be Mike Pinnell, the 330-pound undrafted rookie out of Colorado State Pueblo, who's been kind of disruptive, been getting into the backfield both in family night and in the first preseason game. Been looking good, and I think he kind of has maybe the inside track as opposed to, you know, Luther Robinson or Carlos Gray, a couple of these other rookies who have been, you know, fighting for jobs in training camp. They seem to be behind the curve a little bit compared to Mike Pinnell. But I suppose I'm not ruling anything out at this point yet. It'll just simply be interesting to see them all get, you know, rather lengthy playing time again in the second preseason game. They're not going to have the starters out there for long, so second team unit's going to get a nice long look. The third string unit will, you know, get a very long look in the second half of the game, if nothing else. And it's always interesting to analyze the rookies and how they're playing and how they're doing. And that's the most important part of the preseason, is figuring out the guys who are going to be on the 53-man roster. This may be the last chance to see some of those bubble players, because after the third preseason game, a week from now, starters are going to play longest they ever have in the preseason. They'll play a whole half or so, and then the second team players come in, and the third stringers, you know, simply just getting the scraps at the end. You know, they're getting fourth quarter at best, you know, maybe a series or two, but not very long looks anymore in the third preseason game. And then the Packers cut down the roster to 75 players after the third preseason game. So things will move quickly here now that the second preseason game is upon us. And you know, there starts getting to be less time between games. This week's weekend's game is on a Saturday. Next weekend's game is on a Friday. The week after that, it's on a Thursday. So only 5 days between games now. Things will be happening quick as the Packers, preparing for the start of the regular season. And not long after, we're going to be talking about actual regular season football and games that count as they get ready for the Seattle Seahawks in the regular season opener. But anyway, folks, that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. My call to action today, as we talk to Jacob Lillemose about getting involved on Twitter and how he rarely uses it, let's force him to get involved. So my call to action today, if you have a Twitter account, follow Jacob Lillemose on Twitter. It's his last name, Lillemose. That's all it is, @Lillemose, LILLEMOSE. So give him a follow. Let's give him a couple Packer fan followers and get him discussing the Packers on Twitter. We'll make him go down the rabbit hole of Twitter. And like me, it becomes an obsession where looking all day at the Twitter feed and watching breaking news come across my feed. Anyway, thank you so much, folks, for joining us on today's show. For our preview episode of the Rams game upcoming this weekend. We'll see you next week, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at CheeseheadTV.com. I leave you today with a song called Can't Wait Another Day by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.
Move has got me bouncing off the wall.